ExxonMobil had already handed over control of Cerro Negro to the Chavez government, but the corporation contacted the Chavez regime and offered to work closely with it on the bond problem. ExxonMobil was still on the hook for 50% of the bond issue. Hundreds of millions of dollars were at stake. J.R. Massey, ExxonMobil's vice president for operations in Canada, South America, and the United States, flew down to Caracas. Massey was a Texas A&I graduate who had worked at ExxonMobil for 36 years. He told his Venezuelan counterparts, as a lawyer for the Chavez regime recalled it, that regardless of the differences which remain between the ExxonMobil companies and Venezuela over the nationalization, there was no reason not to cooperate in good faith to restructure the financing. On June 1st, ExxonMobil and PDVSA jointly retained the Wall Street Investment Bank of Lazard to advise them on how to make their nervous bondholders happy. Lazard concluded that the best way to clean up the mess would be for the government of Venezuela to buy back all the outstanding bonds through a cash tender offer and then borrow money on its own by other means. Chavez's aides at PDVSA eventually accepted this advice. The Venezuelans even agreed to pay for ExxonMobil's share of the bonds. Lazard initiated the complex tender process by which the Cerro Negro bondholders would first be given a chance to decide whether to accept the repurchase offer. If enough did so, they would later surrender their bonds and receive cash payments from the Chavez government. All of the parties retained high-end law firms in New York and Washington to handle the paperwork. The offer succeeded, and the full bond repurchase was scheduled to close on December 28, 2007, in a meeting similar to the document signing sessions familiar to the sellers and buyers of residential property. Curtis Malay Prevost Colton Mosley, Venezuela's New York law firm, agreed to host the closing in a conference room at its flagship office, an angular glass-walled skyscraper at 101 Park Avenue. For the lawyers and bankers involved, the year-end closing date meant they would have a disrupted holiday season, but a remunerative one once their deal fees were distributed. ExxonMobil and Venezuela were anxious for the deal to close, too. The cash waterfall had been stopped up through most of 2007. Money continued to flow into the Bank of New York accounts from oil sales, but until the disputes with debt holders were fully resolved, it could not go out. As the year wound on, more and more cash had accumulated in each of the stopped-up accounts of ExxonMobil and PDVSA. By December, ExxonMobil's account held $242 million, and Venezuela's contained about $300 million. One purpose of the closing meeting at the Curtis Law Firm was to confirm that all the legal obligations to bondholders had at last been met so that these huge sums could be released, to be booked as corporate revenue before the year ended. ExxonMobil's lawyers and finance specialists knew about the $300 million building up in Venezuela's cash waterfall account because one of the principal and fundamental economic objectives of the bond repurchase, as a lawyer for Venezuela later put it, was to make sure that ExxonMobil got its own money out of the stopped-up accounts. On December 28th, Venezuela's lawyers at Curtis assumed that everything was in order. Both sides would be rewarded with a cash windfall when the paperwork was formally completed that afternoon. All along, as the bond repurchase neared completion, ExxonMobil had been working secretly with a corporate repo man, Stephen K. Davidson, a litigator at Steptoe & Johnson, a global law firm founded in Washington, D.C. Davidson was a practitioner in arbitration and corporate asset seizures who worked from Steptoe's Washington office on Connecticut Avenue. By 2007, he had become one of the world's leading specialists in the art of seizing and liquidating assets on behalf of large, aggrieved companies. For Motorola, which had fallen into a dispute with a Turkish company over a $2 billion loan, Davidson had seized a yacht in Israel, private jets in Bermuda, France, and the United States, real estate in Britain, Germany, and the United States, and bank accounts in Switzerland and New York. There was a streak of ruthlessness in his work that made him a natural for ExxonMobil. Over Christmas, Steptoe lawyers prepared court documents to freeze the $300 million in Venezuela's Bank of New York cash waterfall account. They argued in the documents that the money was needed as security against future arbitration awards that might pay off ExxonMobil's outstanding claims against the Chavez regime. On Thursday, December 27th, the day before the closing at Curtis, Steptoe lawyers contacted the federal court clerk in the Southern District of New York in Manhattan and asked for a hearing before the emergency judge on call. They drew Judge P. Kevin Castell. In Castell's courtroom on Pearl Street, the Steptoe attorneys handed up a prepackaged filing of affidavits, draft orders to seize the Venezuelan funds, and also a request that Castell place the entire matter under seal immediately, keeping it secret so that neither PDVSA nor its lawyers at Curtis would know, as they signed the bond closing documents the following day, what ExxonMobil had in mind. In view of the urgency of the matter and the precise timing required, Stephen Davidson wrote, he also requested that Castell designate two young female lawyers at Steptoe to serve the asset seizure papers so as to avoid the delays that may occur if the U.S. Marshal is directed to serve the order. J.R. Massey told Judge Castell that PDVSA's sole asset in the United States is its share of the project accounts in New York, sometimes referred to as the cash waterfall, approximately $300 million. PDVSA also owned Citgo gas stations and refineries in the United States indirectly through a subsidiary, but ExxonMobil did not seek to move against these assets. It was highly unlikely, Massey continued, that ExxonMobil could force Hugo Chavez's government to make payments on any future arbitration claim unless the cash waterfall is restrained.